Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
I had maybe an unnormal fashion this week. At the beginning of the week, I had a few days to where I was actually able to just kind of sit down and genuinely study and glean, and I felt like we were going a particular direction that would kind of parallel where we were last week of contending for the faith. And anybody ever think you were ahead of the game? I thought I was ahead of the game. And of all things, Friday evening, it probably began late, the Lord really began to move and direct. And I kept saying, well, Lord, that would work really great for a couple other thoughts that I've had and notes that I've written down. And I think I can add that into, you know, a series that I was thinking of developing, you know, for later on down the road. And he kept saying, no, that's not for later. That's for now. And I'm like, but yeah, you've already given me this. And I thought this was for now. And how many knows that the Lord knows what we need even before we ask? Amen. And what I'm thankful for this morning is that from the moment from our Sunday school lesson to how the Lord spoke in worship this morning, the songs that were selected, how he spoke through Jessica's heart and her life. And again, she doesn't really know where I'm going, so I have to believe that that's the Holy Spirit. Dennis, when he taught class this morning, he didn't know where I was going, so I have to believe that that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so this morning, I want to bring what the Lord really impressed upon my heart. And I hope, I believe this morning with all sincerity that he has already prepared the hearts and lives that are here this morning for this particular word because of what he has done, again, in preparation for this moment. If you will, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And that is a cram-packed passage of scripture. And if you want something to study that will keep feeding and keep feeding and keep giving and keep encouraging and keep challenging, Ephesians chapter 4 will do that for you. And I encourage you at any moment to dive into Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read this and then kind of explain a little bit of what the Lord placed upon my heart, and then we'll move from there this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." How many believe this morning that in Jesus Christ we have forgiveness? Amen. And how many this morning have been a recipient of that forgiveness because of Jesus Christ? You see, I think what we do so often is we take certain things for granted in our lives. And what the Lord really began to impress upon me, I had a bad week. Anybody ever had a bad week? All right? And I had to repair some relationships this week on my own. And because of some things that I guess I chose to say or do. How many knows people are not perfect? Amen? And how many knows that I'm people just like your people? All right? So and again, I don't know if it was due to that fact that he began to change my heart, or if it's just what he needs most of us this morning. But God really began to lay on my heart that there's an element that needs to happen within our body, and that is relationships need to be restored through forgiveness and love. Okay, and again, I'm not saying that there's something wrong, but he kind of led me to believe that there is. And again, I don't, if I'm being super honest with you this morning, what God really was laying on my heart was within our families. What he was saying was, hey, look, I need these strained relationships within your families, within your circle of friends and loved ones that have been torn, that have been broken, that have been destroyed, that maybe today they're almost non-existent. I need those relationships to be restored through forgiveness and through love. And I believe that from the scripture Jessica read and everything this morning, everything ties into God wants to do something in us this morning that will heal us, mend us, and make us whole. as an individual and as a body this morning. So I don't want this message to seem like it's just limited in degree to that element of our family. Because if there is any relationship that we have within our life that needs restoration, that needs this application of forgiveness and love, I would hope this morning that this word would still speak to your heart and you would allow it to be applied in that direction as well. But for what God really was speaking into my heart, and I just could not walk away from, was the element of our families, our circle, our extended family, whatever that may look like for you, and they all look different. How many know sometimes families don't get along? People aren't perfect, correct? You see, I've got 5 siblings. I'm the best looking one of the boys, all right? The girls are all aging way better than me, all right? And they remind me of that from time to time. But you see, we're all in different walks of life. There are some of us who are walking very close to the Lord. There are some of us who are not walking close to the Lord. We each run our homes and our marriages and our relationships maybe a little bit different than the other does. But there are things that we have in common, but yet there are things that we disagree upon. And so from time to time, how many know siblings fight? All right, what's cool now is I'm fatter than ever. I'm also the best looking and the biggest brother. My little brother is actually taller than me, but I outweigh him. And he used to be stronger than me, but now I am stronger than him. And if he hears this, he will challenge that the next time we meet. But you see, despite the fact that we may not always see eye to eye, one thing that I have always loved about our family is we can always come together and we can love each other, despite our differences. And I have to believe that that is a blessing of the Lord that he has placed upon our lives and upon our family specifically. And so I can't always relate to what I feel like the Lord has put it on my heart, because again, we have had situations within our family dynamics that I'm like, you are stupid. That was the gentle way of saying it. And I'm sure that my siblings, I know my parents, Lord, give them more grace even today than you did before. I know that there have been moments where people looked at me and were like, what are you doing? You see, but one thing again that we have never allowed to come between us is the fact that we are family. And so this morning, I want you all to understand that the Lord is trying to call us to a place where our families can be restored. Because do you know where the church gains its most credibility? Within the home, within our family structure. Now, does that mean that every family needs to be perfect for us to perfectly represent Christ? I don't believe that, because we're all walking that walk and that path of sanctification. And so it may look a little different. It may look a little stressed at times. But I do believe that God should gain the glory from how we live our family lives. Amen? You see, he says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, bitterness just means hatred, and I can't relate to that. I've been really angry at my siblings and at my family at certain times for certain things, but I cannot ever say that I hated one of my siblings or my family members. But I have witnessed myself in pastoral life that there are family members who hate each other. Can I tell you that that breaks my heart? And if it breaks my heart, I know it breaks God's heart. You see, we have to get rid of that hatred. We have to get rid of what again is called wrath, all right, or anger that boils over and then it subsides. Anybody ever witnessed that? You get in that moment, everything gets heated, everything gets tense. There's an explosion of emotions because everything boils over, and then all of a sudden it kind of it dies, it goes away, but then it comes back the very next moment. You see, he says we have to get rid of hatred. We've got to get rid of that bitterness. We've got to get rid of that explosive anger. He even uses the word clamor, which means to protest with disorderly agitation. How many know sometimes we're just pushing the other person's button because we know that works? God said, stop. Not me, the Lord. He said, stop, all right? He says, evil speaking, which is basically speech that injures or slanders. Can I tell you that I say a lot of things about my brothers specifically? I really don't mess with my sisters a lot. When I was small, they were younger than me, and they had really big class rings that they got from their boyfriends, and they would thump me right on the top of the head. So even though I stand a head and shoulders above both of them, or all of them, all right, for some reason I cannot bring myself to make fun of my sisters because there's that pain that comes back to my forehead every time I think about it. But you see, today, no matter where we're at in our relationships, we cannot afford for bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, or malice, all right, which is basically just any form of ill will or relentless spite. We cannot allow those things to come in and destroy our families, destroy our homes. It's important for the body of Christ to operate in forgiveness and in love, amen? You see, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Can I tell you that I had to write that scripture out a lot when I was a kid? We didn't have a chalkboard, but man, if it got to it, mom, instead of beating me, would be like, all right, here's your scripture. Write it out. Can I tell you, I can't tell you how many times. You'd have thought I learned my lesson a lot earlier than I did. But I wrote that scripture out probably more times than I could ever begin to count today. But you see, within it hold three things that we really need to listen to and begin to apply to our hearts and to our lives. Because kindness is this: it's being manageable, mild, and pleasant. How many know sometimes we just get unreasonable? Can I be honest with you? This week I just got unreasonable. And can I be really honest with you and tell you that it was nobody else's fault but mine? You see, my wife is not here because of that this morning. She went to Florida with her sister. For all of you now who are like, oh, well, where's Shannon? Let me preface that by saying we are good, and she is on her way back from Florida, all right, from a baby shower for her other sister, all right? Let me throw that out there real quick before everybody starts that gossip train, all right? But sometimes we get unreasonable. Sometimes we get to where we're unmanageable. And my mom used to always tell me when I got on one of those spins of, well, this, that, and the other, and the other, and she'd be like, hey, you know what it sounds like? Everybody around you is broken. I'm like, exactly. And she's like, what are the odds? I'm like, what do you mean, what are the odds? She's like, what are the odds that everybody surrounding your life is messed up and you're not? And I'm like, why would you say that way? Because now you're implying that I'm the one who is messed up. And she was like, you are, and you need to find a place to get with the Lord and get right. And can I tell you that she was right? You see, sometimes we need to become manageable. And the only way for us to become manageable, mild, and pleasant is to find ourselves in the presence of the Lord, allowing these things to be dealt with. He says that we need to be tenderhearted or just simply compassionate. How many knows people have extended compassion towards us, and so we need to make sure that we're extending compassion towards them, amen? But how many knows that even if people don't extend compassion towards us, we're still called to be tenderhearted. We're still called to be compassionate. It goes on to say forgiving, which is essentially just granting forgiveness or pardon, all right? What it does is it says, I'm going to excuse the fault. I'm going to excuse the offense. I'm going to excuse the discourtesy that you've shown me, and I'm going to continue to love you. And again, sometimes that's really easy because maybe the situation wasn't so hard. But at other times, things have festered in our families and in our lives for so long that what happens is we have created this toxic bitterness, this almost like a staph infection within our family. And everybody is affected in a negative way because we refuse to be kind. We refuse to be compassionate. We refuse to forgive because I'm right. How many knows that the Lord was right, but he still forgave us? He was never wrong. Says that even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, he still gave his life. He preemptively gave his life. He gave his life not knowing that you or I would ever come to him and say, Father, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. Make me whole. You see, we have to make sure that we're putting out what God has required of us, and that is kindness, compassion, that is forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, life brings times where we do have indeed grievances against our family, do we not? But you see, he's saying in that moment, he's saying bear through those moments, all right? What the Lord is saying, he's saying endure people's opinions and actions, which we don't want to do anymore today. Because we're entitled to our own opinion and we're entitled to our own action. And so if I don't like yours, I'm going to make mine bigger, louder, and better than yours. And you're going to understand how I feel. How many knows that doesn't heal hearts and that doesn't heal homes? What he's saying is you have to get to that place where you endure the opinions, where you endure the differences, where you endure the offense that maybe has been enacted upon you. Does that mean it's easy? No, but is it necessary for us to fulfill our Christian life and duty to Christ and to look like the church, to be the church? Yes. You see, and he says in there, he uses the word in King James, it's the word quarrel. And it basically means to blame or have a matter of complaint or fault. Right now, if I want, and this has been the running joke, like I said, there's six of us all together. Me and my brother were born 2 years and 2 days apart. And on my birthday, my dad generally calls me, texts me something. Now, he was out of the country, and he didn't, so I'm going to still give him the benefit of that doubt. But when we were home at Christmas, the middle child syndrome got enacted upon my life. It was like everybody wanted to play the John Kincaid is invisible game. And I would literally be in the middle of the living room or the kitchen, and I would say something, and they would just not respond. So I started making jokes about it. Well, the joke is now continued, and it's on me. My father forgot my birthday. And so he even called me the day after, and he said, oh, hey, by the way. And I thought, oh, here it is. He's just getting a little rusty. It's all right. Did I talk to you about General Convention? I said, sure, Dad, you did. All right. And then the next day he called me again, and I'm thinking, oh, it dawned on him because today's Ben's birthday. Now he remembers he didn't remember my birthday. You know what he called and said to me? Hey, don't forget, it's your brother's birthday. You should call him today. And then he said, oh, by the way, and I thought, here it is. Now it's coming. And he said, did I talk to you about convention? You see, I could let something like that bring me to a place where I'm like, man, my dad didn't care about me. He's forgotten about me. I mean, the man did have that many children. It's possible that he has forgotten about me. But you see, if we're not careful, we can let little simple things like that cause infection and bitterness that grow into something that begins to divide a family. Now, maybe your situation wasn't that simple. Maybe what is causing stress within your home, within your marriage, within your family unit, or your extended family, maybe today you're going, well, it wasn't that simple. It wasn't that easy. It was something much worse. Again, is there anything that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot forgive or cover this morning? Think about our personal lives. I'm sure there were some things where Jesus was like, hey, man, that was pretty much worse. But you said, Lord, forgive me. And I said, son, you're forgiven. You see, this morning we need to be forbearing, and we need to let those things that we feel like are a claim, a complaint, that blame, that fault, we need to just simply let those things go and stop giving them the power to destroy our families. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus clearly states, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. He says, anyone who has done anything, forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, what he says is, I can't forgive you. Now, we don't like that scripture because that means that we have to forgive others to accept forgiveness from Christ, for him to be able to forgive us. And we're like, well, that's not the way that works. It is. Jesus said it. That's the way it works. You see, but we want to ignore scriptures like that. See, Romans 14 and 13 says, let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment to one another, but rather decide to endeavor never to put a stumbling block or an obstacle or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Can I tell you that sometimes our families are failing because we're allowing them to fail? Because we're putting stumbling blocks, we're putting offense, we're putting these issues in front of people time and time again, and we're not letting forgiveness and love take away the hurt and the pain and the brokenness and the arguments and all of those things. You see, but he said, let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment. He says, let's not do that. How many knows that if everybody is throwing blame and passing judgment and criticizing, how many knows there will never be healing? You cannot take that which is negative and hope for a positive result in our spiritual life and in our spiritual walk with the Lord. You see, we all have difficult people in our lives, and for that, everybody should have said amen. Because it's the truth. We have them within our families. We have them within our family circles. We have them within our friend circles, our work circles, our community. We have them at times even within the body of Christ right here from those who are represented this morning. Sometimes, how many, I can be difficult. Again, that was your chance to say amen. Chase is just over there going, it's okay, Chase. I know I'm difficult, buddy. You see, we all have difficult people in our lives, but what makes a difference is how we respond to those difficult people. That's what makes a difference. What makes a difference is how we love those difficult people. What makes a difference is how we serve those difficult people. What makes a difference is how we talk about those difficult people. Can I tell you that our homes face destruction and disunity because we can't shut our mouths when something negative is fixing to come out? We're to speak life, not death. The Bible says, speak life that you may live. You see, your home can't be restored. Your marriage can't be healed. Your children can't come to know a peaceable situation if all you ever speak is negativity. If you don't speak life, if you don't speak healing, why are you expecting different results? Well, I've prayed that they would change. Have you prayed that you would change? Because that's where it starts. It starts in our heart. Father, help us this morning. John 13, 34 and 35 says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, everybody say, by this. By this we'll know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, one of the things today I think that discredits the church as much as it does is when we choose to live in dysfunctional family situations. Because people are saying like, dude, if that's, my home runs better than your home. I don't talk about my husband that way. I don't talk about my wife that way. My children, we don't have those issues. You see, one of the biggest discrediting things is how a Christian home runs and operates. And if it is contradictory to the word of God and what we say we believe, people look at that and they're like, well, my home is way better. Don't come to me and give me counseling advice. Don't give me marriage advice. I'm good. Don't give me brother and sister advice. I'm good. You see, we need to make sure that we're truly representing Christ, that we are his disciples, because not by title or definition alone, but because we're representing him through love. You see, and that love, again, is not for those who it's easy to love, like we talked about this morning. How many of those are certain people who are easy to love? Others who it's a little bit more of a challenge, and then some who you go, God, do I really have to love that individual? And the answer to all of those is yes. You see, 1 John 3 and 23 says this, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the Son, or the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You see, what defines us is Christ and how we love. And believing on him alone is not enough to be a functioning, effective Christian. If we're reading that scripture and we're putting it in truth and in context, what he's saying is, you cannot just believe and confess my name and do what needs to be done. You need to believe, confess my name, but then you need to be acting in love because I am love, and that is how I acted. That is how I continue to act. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, again, is what we affectionately call the love chapter. And I just want to read a few verses out of that to remind us this morning of what love really should be looking like in our daily lives, what love should be looking like as we're trying to live and function as married couples, as families, within our extended family circles, to make sure that what we're representing is biblically correct according to God's word. Because it describes love like this. Beginning in verse 4, it says, love is patient and kind. You can stop right there, and that's hard. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record when it has been wronged. Did y'all know that's what love was supposed to do? So stop bringing the past into your present, because it doesn't lend to healing. You see, verse 6 says, it is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. There is nothing that your family can face that if you will operate in forgiveness and love, you can't overcome. Now, does that mean it's going to come out the way that you wanted it to, with people saying the words that you wanted to hear and the way that you wanted it to go? Maybe not. You see, what we need to desire is how God wants to work within our families. You see, and if he brings healing and wholeness, who cares how he does it? We just need to be willing to be the vessel that says, no matter what circumstance we face, I refuse to do anything but forgive and love in this moment. Because I know that is what is going to be the resolving agent in this situation. 1 Peter 4 and 8 says this, and above all things, have fervent charity, again, or love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. If you would stand with me this morning. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Again, love pardons. If you look up that word multitude, it says a great number. But then it also says a bundle. And today, whether it's one thing or whether it's a bundle, or if it's too great to seemingly even number for you this morning, God wanted us to know and to understand that love will cover all of those issues. You see, those things that we say have been done wrong to us, love covers that. Those offenses that we have been on the receiving end of, love covers those offenses. Did you know that love even goes as far as to cover a violation of God's word in thought or in action? If God is going to cover an act of sin that has been done against him, why would we not forgive an act of sin, offense, that has been applied to our lives? Again, he's forgiven us, so we need to forgive others. He has loved us, so we need to love others. You see, this morning, I don't know where you're at. I have no clue what your family is facing. I don't know what your marriage looks like. How many knows everything can look good on the outside, but the inside we can be dying? Jesus said, if we're not careful, we become like those whitewashed tombs. Everything looks real pretty on the outside, but on the inside, it's just death and decay. So this is why I love the Holy Spirit. And this is why I love how he puts things together, and I have nothing to do with it. Because I can't see inside of your tomb. I can't see inside of your home. I can't see inside of your life, your marriage, your family structure. But he can. And this morning, no matter what is going on, he can heal it and he can fix it if we allow him to first heal and fix us. It's not about them. Can I tell you that forgiveness is not about the person who has offended you? Forgiveness is for you. Because again, if we're not living in forgiveness, we're enslaved to unforgiveness. You see, forgiveness sets us free on our end so that we can be the child of God who we have been called to be. So this morning, you may have doubts that the other individuals or whatever has transpired within your family dynamics will ever become what you deem functional and inviting or welcoming or loving or any of those things. But who cares? That part's not up to you. What's up to you this morning is to allow God to change your heart, so that you can become the man or the woman, the brother, the sister, the uncle, the cousin, whatever it is, within that family unit, who you are doing what God has called you to do. Because I can tell you that when people witness the right thing, they're drawn to it. It may take a while, but I guarantee you that God will bring the necessary change that is needed in that moment to heal your family, to bring them back together, and to operate as a Christian home. Again, it may not look like what you want it to look like. It may not happen the way that you want it to happen. But if we will surrender the offense, God will forgive us, He will love us, He will heal us, and we can start afresh and anew from that point. Amen.
I have to give an explanation with this. When the Lord gives me a message, the first battle is in my spirit, because I have to make sure certain things, that it's not just a message for me, that it is for the congregation. And I would rather err on the side of caution than to give anything inappropriate. So a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we got a message, but I also had that message the Wednesday night before. And nothing surprises God. So, you know, the second week was just as good as the first week. But I always know if He gives me the message the second time, I better move. Well, last week, He gave me this message, and I didn't deliver it. So we're back on this subject again. So I'm going to deliver it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't, I don't know if you all understand, but the Holy Spirit doesn't come over a person and just take over their body and they can't control what they're going to do. It's not like that. So I can say no. But today I know this message is for this body. So I'm not going to be silent. Heliamo sotto le amo cantaieli amo sotto le amo cantaieli amo sili amo cotieli amo sanaie. Heliamo soli amo cotieli amo sataieli amo sikili amo cantaieli amo si. Andale amo sataieli amo sandaieli amo sataieli amo si. I have heard your prayers for your children and your family members who are struggling with addictions, alcohol, sexual relationships that are inappropriate. I have heard those prayers. And I can take those desires away. I can remove them. But in you comes the answer to what they are to replace that with. They need to know that burning desire and passion for me. And they need to see it in you to replace what I take away. The desire can be taken away. And it's all represented here in this congregation. All of those things. But you are the key. You are their teacher. You need to show them what goes in the place of the alcohol, what goes in the place of the drugs and the sex. You need to show them what takes the place. And until they see it in you, they will not listen.
Thank you, Father. I do believe that the Lord has been trying to get our attention, and I hope that He has, because the healing of our homes will come through how we choose to live our life for the Lord. Father, I thank you today, God, for how you have laid everything out. Father, I thank you this morning for the word that has come forth to your people. God, I pray that we would examine our hearts and lives to such a degree, Lord, that we would leave no relationship behind. God, that we would not allow any bridges to be burned. God, that we would allow nothing to be strained, again, within our homes, our immediate families, our marriages. God, but then our family circles, our extended family. God, that if there are anything that may be between us and someone else, God, within our families, our homes, and God, even beyond that, Lord, through our friend circles, God, through our workplaces, through our church body, God, bring those individuals to our heart. And God, I pray that we would begin to rectify those things according to your word. God, that we would forgive and that we would love. God, that we would seek healing above everything else. God, so that again, not only that, so that we can be placed in that position to where you forgive us, but God, so that we can be healed. God, that we can move on. Lord, so that hearts and lives can be set free. Lord, let us be the example of Jesus Christ to our homes, to our families, God, our family circles. Lord, let us be the example of forgiveness and love. God, give us the courage and the strength to say, Father, change me first. God, rearrange my life. Recreate in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew my spirit, Lord, that I may better serve you, that I may better serve my family. Father, I pray today that everything that may be working against the healing and restoration of these relationships, I rebuke those things in the name of Jesus. And I claim, Lord, that the walls that would divide would be broken down, God, by forgiveness and love. Lord, as we step out in faith, Lord, not expecting things to necessarily go our way, but just expecting healing. God, let those things begin to transpire today. God, even as we move from this moment forward, God, let us be driven to the restoration and the healing of those family relationships. Father, I pray it in Christ's name. In Christ's name.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.